Hello and welcome to our podcast called Truth. Today I'm here with two friends of mine, Ronja and Melina, and we are gonna talk about three serial killers, and each one of us picked one, and we are gonna tell specific information about that person. I'm gonna start with mine. In this TAP episode, we dive into the life of Twisted Mind of Ted Bundy, one of the most infamous serial killers of the 20th century. Bundy was intelligent, good-looking, and charming, traits that set him apart from other killers and allowed him to manipulate his victims while hiding his true natures from the world. We explore his early life, psychological background, and how he maintained a double life as a seemingly normal man while brutally murdering dozens of young women. We also discuss his dramatic prison escapes, his bizarre decisions to represent himself in court, and the strange cult of admiration he inspired, even as the horrific details of his crimes came to light. This episode also looks at how the media and public reacted to Bundy, the psychological theories surrounding his behavior, and why people remain fascinated by figures like him. In the end, we ask the deeper question, was Ted Bundy really a cold-blooded monster or a product of deeper societal and psychological forces? Ted Bundy was born on November 24th in 1946, and he died on the January 24th in 1989. From an early age, Bundy showed disturbing behavior, and by the age of 3, he displayed a fascination with macabre and violent things. Although he performed well academically, he struggled socially and often isolated himself. Teachers and peers were alarmed by his lack of empathy or his troubling actions, such as attempting to drown other children during boating and swimming activities, all without any sign of guilt or remorse. Then later, as he turned a teenager, Bundy's behavior escalated. He began peering into people's windows, stealing from their homes, and these already were early signs of the deviant path he would later take. A bad moment in his life was the end of a romantic relationship that left him emotionally devastated. And interesting, many of his later victims shared physical resemblance to his ex-girlfriend, typically a woman with long dark hair parted in the middle. In 1974, Bundy moved to Uda, and not long after, a woman in the area began to go missing. This sparked growing suspicions and fear. Then later in 1975, he was pulled over by the police, who discovered an alarming collection of tools in his vehicle, including handcuffs, a crowbar, face mask, and rope, and this led to his first arrest. As investigators dug deeper, they began to connect him to a series of disappearances and assaults. He was eventually linked to the abduction of Carol Deronge, which played a key role in his conviction. In 1977, Bundy made headlines when he escaped from custody, not once, but twice. After his second escape, he was on the run for several weeks before being captured in Florida. Ultimately, Bundy confessed to the murder of over 30 young women across several states. He was sentenced to death and was executed in the electric chair in 1989. His case remains one of the most chilling examples of how charm and manipulation can hide unimaginable darkness. And now I'm here with Ronja and Melina, and we are gonna discuss few questions about the case of Ted Bundy. I'm gonna introduce you to Ronja and Melina. Please say something.
Hello, welcome.
And I have a question for you guys today. Could Ted Bundy have been stopped earlier? Where did the justice system fail, and what should have been done differently?
I think that Ted Bundy couldn't be stopped earlier because the police had no evidence.
I think that he could be stopped when,
like the teacher go to the parents and say something so they could went to a therapist and he can talk about his issues. So maybe then he won't do that.
Do you guys think that it's dangerous to use the term monster when talking about serial killers like Bundy?
I think that is a difficult point because they are humans, but I know they also did things that no normal people will do, so I think you can, but it's difficult.
No, because for me, the serial killers are real monsters.
That was my part of Ted Bundy's case and serial killer.
Hello and welcome. Now I'm gonna tell you about my information blog about John Wayne Gacy. He was born on March 17th of 1942 in Chicago. He died on May 10th of 1994 in Thrust Hill. He was an American serial killer who was convicted of the rape and murder of 33 boys and young men between 1972 and 1978. He received an entry in the Guinness Book of Records for the longest sentence imposed on a serial killer. As a child, he had a very difficult time as his father was violent and he was very overweight. A heart problem and a regular fainting spells restricted his health from an early age. His father repeatedly accused him of faking the illness in order to seek attention. He lured his victims, mostly teenagers, to his house in Chicago with promises of jobs or offers to help. There he tied them up with handcuffs, raped them and strangled them, often with a rope. On the evening of the 2nd January in 1972, Carol, who he was already living, was visiting relatives with her daughters. Gacy took advantage of this time and drove through the suburbs. He met a 16-year-old Timothy McGoy, who followed him home and spent the night there. The next morning, Gacy stabbed the boy to death with a kitchen knife and buried the body under the crawl space. On July 29 of 1974, Gacy picked up a 17-year-old boy, John Bukovic, in a bar where he had been beaten up and took him home with him. First, Gacy treated his wound, but then he handcuffed the boy and raped him. He put a noose around his neck and tightened it with a stick until John suffocated. Gacy buried the body in his garage. His marriage ended in March 1976. He buried 29 bodies in the crawl space under his house and threw 4 more into a river. Gacy often appeared as Pogo the Clown at children's parties, which is he was later called the Killer Clown. He received 21 life sentence and 12 death sentence. He was caught in 1978 and he was executed at Statewide Correctional Center in 1994. How do you feel about John Wayne Gacy acting as a clown while secretly beginning for murder?
I find it very creepy because why do you dress like a clown to murder people? Something in your mind is just not in the right place. You're just a psychopath.
Do you think the death penalty is justified in his case? Why or why not?
I think he deserved the death penalty because he murdered dozens of people's lives, so I think he deserved it.
I think it's difficult to respond because he's still a human and yeah, but he also killed that many people, so maybe he deserves it, but yeah. So I'm Ronja and I'm going to tell you about another serial killer.
In this episode, we take a deep dive into the disturbing life and criminal career of Mark Aaron Rust, one of Australia's most notorious offenders. We trace his path from a troubled youth with social and psychological issues to a convinced murder. Rust suffered from Klinefelter syndrome, a genetic disorder that affects both his appearance and self-image, possibly contributing to his growing isolations. Early on, he exhibited sexually inappropriate behavior, voyeurism, and violent tendencies. His criminal behavior culminated in 1999 with the brutal murder of Maya Jakic, a young lady living in Adelaide. Rust was born in 1965 in Adelaide. He began following women at the age of 13 and was first convinced of sexual offences in 1983. He will go on to be convinced of between 11 and 13 sexual offences between 1983 and 1999, including gross indecency and an unknown number of other offences, including arson and trespassing. Maya Jakic had a great life. She lived with the minimal of things and were the first killed victim for Rust. Rust was a taxi driver and saw her, but Maya wasn't in the mood for a small talk. At first, his intention was just to have sex with her. He grabbed Maya and ignored her screams and pulled her into the old police department. It was dark and overgrown. No one was there. When he was done with Maya, he killed her and dropped her body next to the police station in a bush. Then, Ross goes to a cell phone and called the police. "There is a body next to the police department," he said, and he definitely played with the police. He searched with them, but they didn't find her. So Ross took other advices. He write on walls and on a paper and laid it on a police car with the message that there's a body. Take a good look. When the police find her, they didn't think that Ross did that. He was just a boy with little crimes. 2 years later, he killed Megumi Sasuke. She was an exchange student from Japan. Mark Rust stole her CD player, grabbed her and said, "Don't look at me," but Megumi turned her around and looked at him. Then Rust grabbed a stone and killed Megumi. He dropped her body in an industrial bin behind a set of shops. It took a long time to find her. Rust, still on the streets, driving alone, searching still for a new victim. But this time, he didn't know that his victim would be alive. He saw a woman go in a shop. She was alone. He took a knife and go in, cut the phone lines, wearing a mask. He told her to lie down and take off her skirt. The woman did what he said, knowing that's the best chances to stay alive. She submit all and managed to convince his trollish mind that she was into it. But after that, she went straight to the police when he was gone. Before he drove away, she tried to keep the car and some numbers in mind. And after that, the police went straight to Rust and arrested him for sexual assault. But not now for Maya's and Megumi's murder. The police gave the phone call voice at the news to ask if anyone knows him. His brother, Steve Rust, came home and watched the news, and when he heard Mark, he called the police and said, "I think that's my brother." So Mark was now arrested for Maya. In the prison, he listened on the CD player, knowing that Megumi's parents still search for her and hope she's alive. He rarely saw that and said it to the police. With the serial number of the CD player, they can also arrest Mark Rust for his last victim, Megumi.
This was my information block, and now we're gonna discuss a few questions.
What do you think that Mark Rust called the police and saying that there is a body in the bush?
For me, that's very disturbing because he killed the woman and he called the police to say where the bodies are. I mean, they could have checked for fingerprints or I don't know, and he would have been caught from the moment he killed them. But I think it was just a psychopathic game he was playing, because
I think you can't help a person like that.
He was asked why he did it, and he said, "I did it because I did it." What do you think about that?
Like I said, it's so disturbing that a human being can be like this. I mean, if he says something like that, he has no guilt, has no shame, and that's, in my eyes, that's just evil, pure evil.
He was so heartless and he has no emotions. I think so.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it.